Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So I was actually quite surprised. I didn't know about this. And then I heard that there is a Kinnus HaShluchim taking place here in South Africa, which is always very, very cool. But what does it mean? It's not the, is it the international one? How many people are here? And what is that? In any event, let's speak to Rabbi Ari Shishler. He's Rabbi of Chabad of Strathaven in Sandton. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're well.
Good morning, Howard. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, you can't be greater or better or in a better headspace than sitting at this Kinnus HaShluchim. I hope you're well too.
I am well, even though I'm not there. So tell me about it. First of all, for anybody who doesn't know what that is, let's start there. What is Kinnus HaShluchim?
Let's start there. So let's maybe go back one step and say, what are shluchim? Shluchim is the term that we use. It comes from the word to be an agent, an emissary, a proxy, a representative. Shluchim is the word that we use to refer to the Chabad rabbis and rebbetzins all over the world, stationed in 110 countries, some 6,500 of us. And every year, in various formats, groups of shluchim will gather together, brainstorm, connect, rejuvenate, inspire. There's a big international gathering for all the men in November, for all the women in January. This currently is our South African or Southern African chapter, which gets together usually around about this time of the year.
Ah, okay. So this is shluchim from where? Whereabout are they? Are people traveling?
So this year's only from within South Africa's borders.
Ah, okay.
We do call it the Southern African Kinnus because we do typically have representation from other countries. Believe it or not, Mauritius is considered part of our group.
Makes sense.
And our fellow Rabbi Herzl in Zambia. And there's a lot of, I don't want to say collaboration because maybe that's not the right word, but there's a lot of connection between South Africa and other African shluchim. Mm. People don't realize that there are Chabads in about a dozen countries across Africa. And there's work in the pipeline currently for an Africa continent Kinnus HaShluchim. But that's not where we are today. Today we're just within the borders of South Africa.
And what is the focus over the couple of days that everybody gets together? What are you looking for in terms of achievement, success? What does success look like by the end of this gathering?
Rabbi Mendel Lipske is the head of the Shluchim in South Africa. He was sent here by the Rebbe by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1972. And he shared a story right at the beginning of this year's conference, which I think captures exactly that point, where early on in his tenure in South Africa, he went to New York, went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, reported back on the programs and what they had achieved in those early years. Mm-hmm. And he says the Rebbe was so satisfied and so happy with what he had presented. And then immediately said, how could we possibly be satisfied? Whatever we've done, we need to double our efforts. And that's exactly what it is. It's to analyze and assess what we've done, what we are doing, where we are effective, where we are not as effective as we should be to improve, where we are effective to double or to increase or to 10x. So that's really the focus. The focus is to be real. And I feel that this year the Kinnus was particularly real. People were very honest, very vulnerable, just in terms of where we are as a Jewish community in South Africa, where we are as the rabbis of shuls, where we are as the rabbis of Chabad centers, where we are as the rabbis educating in the schools, chaplaincy, and so on and so forth. And then some powerful brainstorming and just trying to work out how do we take South African Jewry, which quite honestly, we feel very strongly is positioned extremely well in the world today.
I think so too.
And we've got to leverage that, and we've got to turn this into, I believe we are a flagship Jewish community. Not I, we, the Shluchim, believe that we are a flagship Jewish community. And to leverage that, to have the most incredible experience of Judaism for Jewish people in this country, and dare I say, even to attract people from outside of the borders of this country, because we have a Jewish community that is worth selling.
It is absolutely true. I think that for many good reasons and for many not good reasons as well, I think the South African Jewish community has lots of reason to say, hold on a minute, look around to communities in other parts of the world, and we can be very, very grateful. It doesn't mean we can be complacent, and it doesn't mean that we can be too comfortable. But the reality is that we have a very, very beautiful community, and we live in a country that, despite many, many political concerns, we definitely are not, thank God, facing what communities around the world are facing. And that is really, really valuable. We also have an incredible amount of unity from within the community. And that is also something that we can be proud of. With all of that, having a look at, hearing these discussions and hearing some of the concerns that the Rabbonim and the Shluchim are facing within their communities, how have things changed? What have you seen? What are you seeing now versus maybe what you didn't see 2 years ago, 5 years ago, obviously October 7th, 3 years ago being a perhaps a turning point? But are there things that you are dealing with now as a community of Shluchim that you weren't dealing with a while back?
That's interesting, because there are more than one angle on that. Mm. So on the positive side, there's definitely a sense that people are more comfortable being in South Africa, invested in South Africa, realizing the grass is certainly not greener on the other side. Interesting, we had conversations about colleagues of ours in other locations in the world reaching out to us. How ironic is this? As South African shluchim saying, how do you deal with a declining community? Because they're starting to see this, people are moving away due to anti-Semitism. Mm. And we're saying, we're actually not feeling the declining community today as we did previously. I think our numbers are a little bit more stable. The second thing is, from the October 7th perspective, there's definitely a greater awareness and engagement of people in their Judaism, which is important. And on the other extreme, there is also a more polarized aspect of, we didn't see high rates of intermarriage in our community here in South Africa, and now we're seeing rising rates. That is a red flag. That's something we'll discuss again at the rabbinical conference with the chief rabbi. That is something that we have to address. That was a very big part of the conversation. And then you mentioned October 7th. We shouldn't forget the way that COVID changed how we behave, and therefore in-person engagement in all of our shuls. And we believe very strongly that when we have a strong Chabad presence and a proactive approach to Judaism, the entire Jewish community will benefit. All of our shuls will benefit. The whole Jewish community will hopefully find innovative ways just to re-engage in person, whether that be Shiurim, Friday night shul, and so on and so forth.
I'm fascinated about your comments on intermarriage, because I would have thought, given the fact that people, there's this almost the sense of since October 7th, people who maybe weren't so strongly identifying as being part of the Jewish community, Jewish world, many people have found that identity and voice. I would have thought that would have reduced intermarriage. Why do you think that's increased?
Well, it's definitely paradoxical, because we are different to many other Jewish communities where intermarriage is directly related to an apathy towards Judaism or disconnect from their Judaism. And that's not the case. We're a very unique Jewish community. We're a Jewish community who will en masse drive to shul on Shabbos and yet be very proudly Orthodox. And that's the beauty of this community, is that you don't have to step out of the arena if you're not observant to the extent that the Frum community would expect. So we've got this paradoxical reality of people who feel very affiliated and connected with their Judaism, proud of their Jewish identity, and yet feeling that, but this is my friend who I've grown up with, or we met at varsity, and not seeing that as such a big issue, particularly for Jewish girls who understand that their children will still be Jewish. That is a taboo that no longer exists in the way that it did, which is very concerning, because as one of the rabbis said last night, So your children will be Jewish, but then the likelihood of your grandchildren being Jewish is statistically much, much lower. So this what's crept into our community is the sense of being able to placate ourselves by saying, it's okay because, or it's okay because there are fewer people to date, as some may argue whether that's accurate or not. So it feels almost as if it's a very unique shift, just in terms of people needing to have that relationship to be able to settle down and maybe hitting a bit of a brick wall. That said, we cannot ignore the fact that there are people in our Jewish community. I often say this: if I would have every Jewish person in my street who does not currently attend a shul come to our shul, would have to expand our shul. And I'm not living in Glen Hazel. So we cannot ignore the fact that we live with this beauty of a community that is very strong, and yet call it 10%, it's probably more likely 20%, who are unaffiliated. They are quite sidelined, because if you're not in the bubble, if you're not in that place of connection, and we have such a strong place of connection, then maybe you fall off quite easily. And that's very much what we're dealing with, trying to reach and touch people who are not touched. There is no value in me attracting somebody who belongs to another shul and say, hey, I've got another member. That's nonsense.
Right.
Because there are, unfortunately, enough people who just don't feel engaged with their Judaism, and we need to engage them.
There's little doubt about the massive success of Shluchim, not only in South Africa, but around the world. Focusing here in South Africa, what do you think the hidden superpower is of the Chabad movement, of the Shluchim, of the way and the incredible work that it has done and continues to do?
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. A number of years ago, in fact, it was 10 years ago, because my visa's just run out, so I know exactly when it was. I went to apply for an American visa, tourist visa. And obviously, when they looked at the application, they see that my wife is American, all my children are American citizens. So they wanted to have an interview, as sometimes they do. And they said, how do we know that you're not going to just pick up and move to the United States? This was obviously a non-Jewish consular employee. I said, what do you mean? I'm a Chabad rabbi. I'm here for life. Okay, visa granted.
Okay. So therein lies the answer, is commitment, lifetime commitment.
I think the answer really lies, and it's difficult for somebody to appreciate this unless they had firsthand experience of it, but the way that the Rebbe charged us with the sense of absolute responsibility, not just to your position, not just to your community, but literally to every Jew, it's just
purpose and
hardwired into and commitment to mission, like this unwavering commission. I think we're very fortunate that the Rebbe carved a path for us that is so clear. These are the protocols, these are the rules, these are the objectives, this is how you do it, this is what's absolutely off the charts, off the table. You cannot do these things. This is how you operate. You know, when you have clarity of purpose, when you have clarity of process, then you must expect success.
Absolutely amazing. And wishing you and the rest of the Shluchim, and all of us, therefore, all the best and a tremendous amount of success. That is Rabbi Ari Shishler. He's the Rabbi of Chabad of Strathaven in Sandton, talking to us from the Kinnus HaShluchim.